This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We heard Earl reference this here, Tobes, and you kind of gave me this idea. I want to kind of tag you in here to give me your thoughts on it. But they quite simply did not get their money's worth this year. Talking about the Local 53 between John Allen and Deron Payne. Now, a lot of that is Allen's injury, but it wasn't as if he was tearing the cover off the ball, to use some baseball parlance, before he was injured. Allen, you know, the years of him being a havoc-wreaking, maybe double-digit sack potential, usually settling in that 6 to 8 range, the quarterback hits, the tackles for a loss, et cetera, just wasn't the havoc-wreaker this year at 29. Not to say he's a bad player. That's not what this is. This isn't, you know, a condemnation of him, his work ethic, or otherwise. Fact remains. And the Capitals dealt with this for the last couple of seasons before they were able to move on. And again, you don't want to be flippant or dismissive of these guys' careers. But when you pay a huge percentage of your cap to Nicklas Backstrom, TJ Oshie, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and you don't get elite production from those guys for whatever reason, it's hard to be really good. And lo and behold, the Capitals weren't really good. You retool, you reallocate that money, better things are happening. So for Allen, injuries are a big part of this year's story. And Payne, I was dead wrong about him. That was a guy I advocated signing because I thought there was a breakout, not a, I'm about to get paid, let me play hard and play great and then kind of go back to what I was before. I thought he developed and this was going to be the new normal. I was wrong about that. They've been kind of let down with a whole bunch of salary cap allocations to do defensive tackles that for a defense that couldn't stop the run and they weren't wreaking havoc in the pass game.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you're paying them, right? They're supposed to be the impact players, and they just are not making an impact. And I thought, to be fair, I thought that John Allen actually played fairly well when he came back from the injury.
Oh, now, definitely again, did, yes.
Was he playing Aaron Donald style? Was he paying maybe up to what he was being asked to? I don't know that I would say that. But the problem is it's been so inconsistent, Danny. It's like sometimes you see it's routine when you go out to training camp to see these guys just dominate. Now, some of that's Washington's O-line isn't great. But you'll see these guys from time to time just take over an entire day of practice. And you'll walk away going, wow, those dudes are still special. And then you turn on the TV on Sunday in week one and you're like, wait a minute. Where are those guys at that were special in training camp? And you just don't see them enough. There's times that you'll see them show up. You know, I think earlier this year there was a Deron Payne drive where he tackled for loss, sack, bat down a pass. Like, that's awesome. That's what we pay you to do, but it doesn't happen nearly often enough. And so for those guys to be getting paid what they are, at this point, you kind of know what they are, right? Like, they can show flashes of being really good, and they can show it in stretches. But I just don't know that it's worth keeping going with this experiment. They moved off the edge rushers, right? The 4 first-round pick experiment that we talked about for so long with Young, Sweat, Allen, and Payne. It just, they moved off the edge rushers. I think it's now time to move off the, at least one of these defensive tackles. I think it's pretty easy to move off of John Allen. You know, you don't really have guarantees left. I think you'd save about $10 million, whether it's a trade or just flat out cutting him. So I think you move on from Allen. You're kind of more tied down with Payne, although there, you know, Earl was kind of alluding to it. There are some ways, whether it's, you know, post June 1 trade and you can maneuver the cap a little bit there. Maybe you could do something like that. But I would keep one of them around. It'd probably be Payne just because of the cap issues. But I'd probably move on from John Allen. To me, the thing is you drafted Johnny Newton, right? He was someone that I don't know that any of us expected them to draft, because frankly, I don't know that anybody expected him to be there in the second round for them to draft. And when you think about what Johnny Newton is, you know, he didn't necessarily have the best rookie season, but he's a little bit undersized. He's more of a pass rushing defensive tackle. And I think he can get to that level. I think there's a reason that Adam Peters kind of looked at him and wanted to get him. Now you pair him with a run stuffer. And if Deron Payne can be that guy, you think back to the Tampa playoff game when Deron Payne was on the field, they didn't really run the football that great. When Deron Payne was off the football field, that's when Bucky Irving started getting going. So there's some impact there, but if he can play a Jordan Davis-style role and Johnny Newton takes a step forward, then maybe you're okay there, but I'd probably move on from Allen at this point because I just don't know that you're going to get, like you said, the money that you're paying for him. You're not going to get that sort of production.
So there are complications, and this is why general managers and front office folks make a lot of money, okay, because you got to work through all these machinations. So there's not any more guaranteed money left on John Allen's deal, so they could move on from him with a moderate dead cap. You never want to have too much, dead cap, but I believe it's a $6 million dead cap, if I've got that number correct. You could spread that out post June 1st over 2 years and have it be a $3 million dead cap. Again, not ideal, but you are saving a pretty good chunk of change you could use on somebody else. That is an avenue. You could do what maybe is being done here with Deebo Samuel potentially in San Francisco. You could trade John Allen to somebody. Wouldn't get a huge return back, but you could do that. And then presumably Allen would negotiate a contract extension with that team, and they'd kind of tear up some of these numbers, and it would be more affordable to them. You could do something similar with Deron Payne. You'd have a hard time moving on from him this year. It's a $25.8 million dead cap hit. If you were to cut him, that's not an option. But also, what also to me is not an option is his $26 million cap hit this year. I can't do that. I'm not doing that with him. Again, this is not a Deron Payne's a bad player. It's not some screed against him, and I'm not sitting here beating the drum like Eagles fan style telling you he's a bum, this, that, or the other. I'm telling you that I need to do better there, right? I thought he was going to be the guy that grew into the player where you go, as future guys sign after he does, whether it's Christian Wilkins or some of the other defensive tackles that have signed since, right? Matabuke in Baltimore, Chris Jones in Kansas City, etc. I thought he was going to be ascending into that group. I was dead wrong about that. I don't see it. Now, maybe they do. Maybe Peters and company go, no, you watch. He'll break out in this system, in this scheme, in year two with Joe Witt, and we don't need to move on from him. We don't need to get weaker there. Because your point is, and Toby, I think it's a good one. I don't speak for you. But your point is, it's not as if he's bad. As part of a rotation, it's fine if money's no object. But to me, money's an object. I'm now to the point where I can't afford bad contracts. I can if I'm the Wizards and I've got no designs of winning this year, right? Give me your garbage. Give me your veteran that you don't want anymore. I'm happy to do that as long as I get a pick or two. My window is right now, this minute. Every red cent to me needs to be spent on somebody premium. I got that menace in my division. I got those monsters I got to deal with. I got that offensive line I got to beat. I got that defensive line I got to protect against. I mean, that's what it is to me for Philadelphia. So if you're building slowly, let's say Jaden Daniels had a regular rookie season where he showed signs and it was fine, and they went 6-11 or 7-10 because they got a couple breaks or two, I'd go, yeah, can I really afford to get worse? This is a normal Redskins and WFT, or now the stupid name, type operation, right? Without competent leadership, I would go, what's Ron Rivera going to do with that cap space? You know what I mean? Like, you could do a lot worse than Deron Payne. And my normal default is they're going to do worse because every time they go shopping, it's worse. That's not the case now. I want Adam Peters pulling levers. I want him rolling the dice and wheeling and dealing and chucking and jiving and making call after call after call after call, because his shooting percentage is good. Again, and there are things that I think he missed on. I think the front office weren't perfect this year, but that's unreasonable. Nobody's perfect. Howie Roseman took Jalen Reagor instead of Justin Jefferson. That's a stupid pick, right? I could have made a better pick. Seriously, I wouldn't have gotten everybody else that he got. So to me, the question boils down to, what do you do? Do you keep both and improve the defensive end spot, right? It's probably a mid-40s. I think it's 45, 46, depends on your math. Salary cap hit between the two guys. Talking about Payne and Allen. Do you simply cut Allen, take the cap space, go grab somebody? Do you try to trade knowing you probably won't get a ton back? There may be some negative cap implication if you traded Payne. So it's basically keep both, move on from both, or keep one and not the other, right? Those are your three silos. Those are your three categories. Keep both, move on from both, or keep one. What are you doing?
I would keep one. I keep De'Ron Payne just because of the cap thing and some of the things that you have to deal with and what you're going to have to deal with dead penalty and all that. I'll move on from John Allen. And I think that De'Ron Payne is still a decent player. He's someone who's under contract. I'd rather just have him on the roster than have to deal with some of the dead cap hit. He's not, like you said, he's not great. This is, I think with both of these guys, it's the same thing that we talk about with all the time. You're playing great money for a good player, right? I think just about anybody in the National Football League say, would you take John Allen or De'Ron Payne? Absolutely.
Of course you would.
Would you take him for 20-plus mil? Probably not, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of the conversation here. And so for John Allen and De'Ron Payne not to have the impact that you're paying them for, I think you have to move on from one of them. Johnny Newton, hopefully, you know, full off season where he's healthy, he gets to kind of grow into a bigger role and understand the defense. And instead of getting thrown into the fire and with no training camp and preseason reps, he'll get a full off season of getting ready to roll. Hopefully you see that impactful guy, because remember, when people were talking about Johnny Newton, they're talking a first round of defensive tackle, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's what John Allen, that's what De'Ron Payne were. And we've seen, like I talked about earlier, you've seen the flashes from those guys. You know, there's nothing wrong with them when they are going well. It's just the inconsistency with them. I'm moving off John Allen. I just think it's time. He's getting to that age. I'm sure he'll go somewhere and have an impact, but I don't think he's a premier guy anymore, and you can easily get that one off the books. De'Ron Payne sticks around just because some of the cap stuff, and then you pair him with Newton, and I think you kind of tell Payne, hey man, you need to be an A-plus run stuffer. That's what we need. You're looking at Philadelphia. We need someone who can clog up two dudes in the middle of that offensive line and let Johnny Newton kind of go hunt, and I think if you have Newton take a step forward and De'Ron Payne plays that run stuffer role well, then I think your defensive line in the middle can be fine. I would move off of Allen.
I smell what you're cooking there. So to me, now Grant was more cynical about this than I was, and I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying what happened, the conversation. What Allen did to come back meant a lot to me. Now, you don't want that. There's a reason I'm not qualified to be, there's a million reasons why I'm not qualified to be the GM, but this is the kind of thing I'd have a hard time dealing with. Like him basically being told you could re-aggravate this thing at any point in time and you'd miss forever, and him going, bleep it. Now, the cynical person might say, yeah, but he's going into potential free agency and he's trying to make himself some money, right? So it's worth the risk to him. The person like me says, this is his first shot at any point in time in doing something meaningful, and he did everything he could to come back, and his teammates respect him. So they're first. When they kind of didn't roll their eyes at it because it's like fake rah-rah. You know, guys know. Players know. They can tell the difference between, you know, Instagram rah-rah and the real stuff. And to me, the way they react around John Allen is the real stuff. Like, that meant something to me. He's got an emeritus kind of Bobby Wagner role to me. Like, a post-useful, dominant player role to me where I'm fine paying a premium for that. That's a leader. I would keep John Allen. Even though he's got no guaranteed money, I think it's an $18 million cap hit. This coming year, I actually got to double check that before I start spouting off about it. No, it's 22. So I know that's a premium. I know that's too expensive. I'm 100% aware that that's too much for the production I'm going to get, or in this case, I won't get. But I would pay that premium, see if I could renegotiate with him and kind of tear it up and make something more affordable. Who knows if he'd be willing to do that or not? But I would try. I would keep him, and whatever I had to do to move on from Payne, I would do that. Cutting it was not an option. Because, again, that dead cap hit makes it not worth it. Same thing they kind of did with Andrew Wiley this year. There was no financial incentive to move on from Andrew Wiley. Andrew Wiley was going to be on the team. Because if you cut him, it's a dead cap hit. You might as well just have the guy play for you, even, you know, if I don't think a ton about him. Now you've got some flexibility. I would try to trade Payne, rather, knowing that I'm not going to get great value. People will see that and go, I can't believe you got a sixth for De'Ron Payne. I need that money to go somewhere else. I need that money to be in a defensive end. I need that money to be a corner. I need that money to be another pass rusher or, you know, who knows? I need that money invested elsewhere. I can't pay great money for fine too often. I'm doing that with Allen, knowing that he's a different leader than Payne is. And again, it's not to criticize Payne. It sounds like I'm just beating up on the guy. I don't mean that at all. But that's not who Payne is. Payne is not that. I'm give the pregame speech. I'm the guy that's going to talk Saturday night that has everybody kind of, you know, dabbing their eyes because it's that meaningful to someone. Like, that's not who he is, and it's not a criticism to not be that. I'm not that. A lot of guys aren't. But Allen is, and I think that's worth it to me to try to keep him. But I think it's an interesting conversation.